Amen. Am I on God? I'm trying, buddy. Hear me? Hear me now?
Tore it up. Is it on now?
Yeah.
I want you to hear me. That one's on? Is this one on?
Maybe I'm not God. Maybe it's on mute.
I did that.
Leon fooled this right before I got it. Church, go ahead and involve yourself in that ministry there. Now you should have, in your bulletin, you should have an outline of today's message from last week. We've run this so many times that the paper's getting frail on the corners. But I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel. The first chapter. The book of Daniel, the first chapter. Now, the title of today's message is, you can pick you one out here. You got two to choose from. It is either a line in the sand or it is, I'm resolved. You remember that old hymn, I'm resolved? Come friends without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Now you found your place in Daniel 1. I want you to mark that, and then I want you to turn over to the New Testament, to John, the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, not the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But the letters of John are on over in your New Testament, on over before you get to the book of Revelation, Jude and Revelation. Before that, and you're going to come to a place in 1 John. Let me get down here amongst you. How you doing your broke leg? Buckle your seat belts. 1 John, now Leon talked about how the Lord had spoke to him. Usually I take some notes, but I made one note on Tuesday morning in the evangelism conference that we just came from. Now, Brother Leon invited you. I'm going to invite you. I'd like to take about 20 folks next year. I'd like to take some couples. So you'd have to make plans for that. 1 John 4 and verse 8. In this was manifested. What does that word mean? It means revealed, doesn't it? God showed it to us. Now last Sunday we had all the young people to stand, and I told them I was going to preach to them. Now you guys hang on, because I'm going to finish up with you, okay? And I'm not going to ask old people to stand. I know how it is, how hard it is on them. But they gripe just because we stand during the music. You're not one of them, are you? Anyway, I'm going to get started off on the right foot here so we can both be on the same page. Verse 8, He says, isn't that where I was going to start? 4 and verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Did I read that right?
Hey, you didn't tell us to stand up.
I think you ought to stand up. Gripe and growl all you want to. I wasn't the one that said that. He that loveth not knoweth not God.
Amen.
Did you get it? He that loveth not knoweth not God. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son unto the world that we might live through Him. You may be seated. In Matthew 22, Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this. Do you remember what it is? Do you remember what the greatest commandment is? Was to love God with everything you've got. That's the greatest commandment. And then He said, the second greatest commandment is like it. It's likened unto it. And it says, love your neighbor as yourself. God is love, and the one that doesn't love doesn't know God. Now, I told my wife this morning before we came to church, I said, I'm thinking about starting another church. And I'm going to see if I can get some followers to follow me. Now, I want you to think about this, because you might want to go with me. I'm going to start a church where you can hold a grudge just as long as you want to. It's not going to be against anybody, or it's not going to be against God or anything. You just hold a grudge as long as you want to hold a grudge. We're not going to talk about this verse in that new church. Can I get any followers? Can I get some followers? Can I get an amen there? You're going to come with me, and you're going to be able to hold a grudge just as long as you want to. This was the note I made. We do not love unless we want for that person what is best for that person. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
We do not love unless we want for that person what is best for that person. So if you want a definition of how you feel about an individual, you just ask yourself, as I ask myself, do I want what is best for that individual? So if I start this church and I say, okay, you can hold a grudge, you really don't have to love. Or at least you don't, you can say it. You can say, I love you, brother. But you don't have to mean it. In other words, you don't have to want what is best in that person's life. And I've just been thinking about this morning. If I could have spent all week thinking about it, I could have come up with a lot of stuff to put in that church deal. But I thought that perhaps some of you men that don't like that the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know what that means? That means get things right before the sun goes down.
Amen.
Don't go to bed mad. Or perhaps we would tear this part out, that husbands and wives are to get along with one another, resolve their issues, because that has everything to do with their relationship to God, because God doesn't hear their prayers when they're in a fight. So if you join my church, you'd be able to take you a blanket and a pillow and go to the couch and show her just how mad you are. I mean, let's pass this deal on turning over in the bed and turning our back to them. I mean, they kind of figure it out, since you hadn't spoken 3 days, that you might be mad. So you could join my church and that would be fine. You could be mad for the rest of your life and not have any problems, because we never would preach on that. We never would bring that up. Wouldn't that be a great church? I mean, we wouldn't talk about sin. You can just do anything you want to, carry on any way you want to, and we wouldn't bring it up. Nobody'd say anything. How about it? Isn't that the kind of church you want to be a member of? There were 4 guys, young people, that an invading army had come in and taken over their country. They had seen no telling what. There is no word here in Daniel about what happened with their mom and dad and their sisters. They had seen no matter what. No telling what. But they drew a line in the sand and said, "I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I want to do what the Word of God says." Now, if the Word of God says I'm supposed to forgive, if the Word of God says that I'm not to go to bed angry, if the Word of God says that I'm not to have any kind of conflict between me and my wife because it will hinder my prayers, it might mean that I'd have to humble myself. You see me? And say, "It's all your fault." "It's my fault. I'm sorry. I was wrong. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible says to do. It's not the best thing for my marriage. For me to carry a grudge in the church, it's not the best thing for the church. It's not the best thing for the Lord's work. For me not to treat you in a way that is best for you is wrong on my part." So they drew this line in the sand and they said, "I'm not crossing that line. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to be the person that God can use." Now I want to talk to you about what the devil has planned for your life. By the way, have you noticed we've got an enemy that always shows up? When someone does something to hurt your feelings, or you and your wife have words, where do you come up with all that stuff at? That talking to yourself. "Well, I could have said this." Or, "Well, she brought that up. That happened 15 years ago. Who do you think brings all that up? Well, we got an enemy. Amen. The devil. And he has a plan, just as he has a plan for our young people. And by the way, you know, our kids, have you heard this deal? There's more caught than taught. Well, there's more caught than taught. Our kids catch hold of our attitude. They catch hold of that. Did you know, men, that we teach our daughters what to expect from their husbands by the way that we treat our wives? And ladies, those young men in your home, learn from the way that their mother treats their dad what they are to be looking for in a wife. So God uses in verse 1 and 2 in Daniel 1, God uses evil Babylon, can you believe it? God uses evil Babylon to correct His people. He allows things in our life to grow us. He allows conflict in order for us to do what the Bible says to do in the midst of that conflict. He allows broken legs to see what you do with them. To teach you. So he uses Babylon to correct his people. So where is God when we need him? Couldn't the three Hebrew children and Daniel have said, where is God? Where was God when Babylon came in and took over our city? Well, there's never a time when God is not in control of the affairs of men. Can I say that again? There is never a time when God is not in control in the affairs of men.
Amen.
In your affairs, in my affairs. So, God allowed it for a test. By the way, how are you doing in the race? Great day for the race, right? How are you doing in the race? If God has allowed this in your life and in my life, how are we doing with those things that He has allowed? He allowed evil Babylon to come in and destroy Jerusalem. How are we doing in the race that He's allowed in our life? Sin in the life of Israel, and it was idolatry, by the way, and it brought in the judgment of God on Israel through a heathen king. So Babylon is a symbol of evil. Over in Revelation, the 17th chapter, we see that it is a way of life. It's not just the city. It's not the city. But it is a way of life. It's evil Babylon. It is a way of life. And so you and I are faced with that. Our young people are faced with it more than any time that I know of. That our young people are faced with this Babylon way of life that they are offered. Revelation 18, you can read that chapter later. So, the devil has a plan for our youth, and he has a plan for your life. I want you to look over in Daniel 1. I want you to look at verse 3 and verse 4. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel. So does he have his picks? He does. I used to hear a story about a man coming into a vacant church house. And here was a demon in this church house. And he was causing havoc all over the church house, even though the church was empty. He was scattering songbooks around. He was tearing pages out. He was just doing all kinds of things to mess things up in the church house. And so this man confronted the demon, and he said, "What are you doing?" Well, he said, "I'm causing havoc here. I'm causing trouble. They're going to be here after a while. And I'm going to be here when they come, and I'm going to cause all the trouble that I possibly can when they come in. I'm already getting it ready for them. I'm setting up the stage for them." He went on down the road, and he came to another church house, and he went in the door, and he is quiet, empty. He come through the back door, and he walked up to the front. Lying there on the front pew was a demon, asleep. He woke him up. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm resting." Well, he said, "I just came from this church down the street." And he said, "One of your buddies was in there, and he was just scattering stuff everywhere. He was causing all kinds of havoc. He was getting ready for the people to come in, and he was going to cause trouble. And you're laying here asleep." "Oh," he said, "these people are not going to do anything. I don't have to do anything. They'll take care of that. I can just sleep through it." You see, he has this plan for us. He's picked them out in verse 3 and verse 4. "Certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding and science, such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." Now we're going to discover that they're going to try to change them. So he picked the cream of the crop. In verse 3, the king's seed and of the princes. Verse 4, children in whom there was no blemish, well favored and gifted, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding and science, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. What was that? What was the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans? They were, as we continue reading the book, they were magicians, astrologers, and diviners. You see, they had received their power from another source that wasn't God. Did you know that when Moses went in to deliver the children of Israel from bondage, and he went before Pharaoh, and Aaron threw the staff on the ground, it became a snake, that the astrologers and the soothsayers put their staff on the ground and they became snakes also? Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible teaches us that in the last days that the deception would be so strong in miracles and all kinds of things? I'll tell you what. Don't you be surprised what might happen in the last days and say, "Oh, that must be of God because that's a miracle." Because the devil does that also. The thing about it, Aaron's snake ate up the astrologer's snakes. "He that is in you is more powerful than he that is in the world." So they were to receive a 3-year indoctrination. How long do people go to college these days? 4, sometimes 8. Get indoctrinated. Young people, you listen to me. If you go to a state school, you're going to have a professor that tells you that everything that you learned in church was a big fat lie. That's the truth. They'll tell you that you don't know where you come from and you don't know where you're going. They'll tell you that you started with a blob. And now look at you. First I was a monkey swinging in a tree. Now I'm a doctor with a PhD. They're going to try to change your mind. They're going to try to change your culture. They're going to try to change your attitude about what you believe. They were changing their food, which represented the culture. So what will we eat tonight? Will we eat Mexican or Chinese, or maybe it'll be Chaldean? Maybe it'll be that's been offered to idols. Which perhaps to us would not be a great big deal, but to the children of Israel it would have been a great big deal. They changed their names in verse 6 and verse 7. Daniel's name meant God is my judge. And they changed his name to Belshazzar, Baal's prince. Do you remember one of the things that they accused Jesus of when he was casting out demons? Do you remember that? They said, well, he's getting his power from the devil, by the prince of the devil. Hananiah means beloved by the Lord. And they changed his name to Shadrach, which means illumined by the sun god. Mishael, who is as God. They changed his name to Meshach, who is like Venus. Azariah, the Lord is my help. And they changed his name to Abednego, servant of Nego. So the plan is to change their food, change their clothes, change their language, and eventually change their God. So that's Satan's plan for you, young people. To change your food, not so much your food, but your everything that you believe in. The clothing, see, for the Jew, the food was a big deal. They changed their language in an attempt to change their God. But in verse 8, Daniel purposed not to defile himself. That is, that he purposed beforehand. The word defile here carries with it the thought of polluting something, staining it or defiling it. So he purposed not to defile himself. So he purposed not to allow anything to stain him in such a way that his mind would be moved in any way. I believe that in the devil's plan for your life and mine, he will take whatever ground he can get. So if it's just a stain, if it's just a little bit of pollution, then he'll take that and he'll go with it. If you just have a little bit of pollution in your life, it's all right. If you turn toward the way of Babylon just a little bit, that's okay with the devil. It's not with the Lord. Let's look at two last passages. Look with me at Jeremiah. Look at Isaiah 59. Way over in the book of Isaiah. I don't have it marked either, so you got the same chance I do. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Do you remember how we started? Do you remember how the sermon started? That new church I was going to start? See, if you just have a little bit of that stain, it's not going to amount to anything. There's people that are having church this morning, I can't hardly believe it. They might as well have the Reader's Digest that they're reading out of, because they're not following the Scripture. Somebody help me find Malachi. Where's that at? Some of you drillers, help me out. What's the book before and the book after?
Just before the New Testament, right after the Old Testament.
Are you a Bible driller?
No. No way. I would get there.
Oh, I got to give that guy a hard time. Look at verse 6 in chapter 1. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be your father, where's my honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. Unto you, O priests, that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governors. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? As far as I was going to go. What does that say? Do we think that the Lord is going to be pleased? This wasn't just second best. This was the leftovers.
Amen.
Bring something that you can't use. To the Lord, whatever's left over. Whatever's left over, just use that. Let's offer him a little bit of time on Sunday morning, and maybe even Sunday night. But the rest of the week, let's live it however we want to, just like the Babylonians. Let's eat what's offered to us. Let's wear our clothes the way that they want us to wear them. Let's talk like they want us to talk, like Babylon wants us to talk. Let's believe the way the Babylonians believe, and we'll be accepted in our society. You may not believe it, but that's going on among our young people right now. Right now. It's going on right now. By the way, I forgot to mention, in that new church, I wouldn't require you to get your teenager out of bed and make them come to church. Just let them lay in the bed and do what they want to. Get any amens from some teenagers? I didn't even hear any from them. Let's stand together.